I don't know whether my voice will outlast the message I've got today, but maybe we can get out of here before 2 o'clock. We'll see what we can do about that. The question for today that I want you to think about, and it's really not a question, it's a statement. But in one sense, it is a question. And it's, when we get where we are going. That is the statement or question for each of us to examine today. Every one of us are always trying to get somewhere every day. We get up in the morning and are busy with places we're trying to get to. We're trying to get to work, school, daycare, restaurants, Walmart, shopping malls. And when we get to back where we're going, we come back home, we got other places we have to go, trying to get there. Sometimes it seems that we'll never get to all the places we're trying to go. But now, what I'm talking about is not none of these things. I'm talking about where are we going, spiritually speaking. In the point in your life right now, this minute, where are you going? And I can't answer that. I can only answer my life. But each one of you have to answer that question today or sometime in the near future. Or maybe you've already answered it. Some of us will never get to where we're trying to go because of our lack of faith and trust in God. Today our scriptures, and we're going to cover a lot, is coming out of the book of Proverbs. Solomon was probably the wisest man around. He asked for wisdom, and God blessed him with it. He was one of the wisest men in the Bible. Proverbs is broken up in 3 sections. Wisdom for young people, wisdom for all people, and wisdom for the leaders. We're going to try to cover today wisdom for all people and a portion of wisdom for young people. Solomon instructed the young people his day like a father giving advice to his child. While many of these proverbs are directed toward young people, the principles supporting them are helpful to all believers, male and female, young and old. Anyone beginning his or her journey to discover more of wisdom will benefit greatly from these wise sayings. And under wisdom for all people, Solomon wanted to impart wisdom to all people, regardless of their age, sex, or position in society. These short, wise sayings give us practical wisdom for daily living, and we should study them diligently and integrate them into our lives. There are some 14 chapters with things that we should be doing as Christians under all people, and under the young people there's some 10 chapters, but we can't cover all those today, so we're covering just a few. But as I said, Proverbs gives us good advice on how we can accomplish part of our journey and where we're going. We're going to start with Proverbs 10, chapter 10. Is that background noise in my thing stand? All right, thank you. Is everybody at chapter 10? Amen. The Proverbs of Solomon, a wise man, a wise son, making a glad father, but a foolish son is the heaviness of his mother. Treasures of wickedness profit nothing, but righteousness delivereth from death. The Lord will not suffer the soul of the righteous to famish, but he casteth away the substance of the wicked. He becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand, but the hand of the diligent maketh rich. He that gathereth in summer is a wise son, but he that sleepeth in harvest is a son that causeth shame. Blessings are upon the head of the just, but violence covereth the mouth of the wicked. The memory of the just is blessed, but the name of the wicked shall rot. The wise in heart will receive commandments, but a prating fool shall fall. He that walketh uprightly walketh surely, but he that perverteth his ways shall be known. He that winketh with the eye causeth sorrow, but a prating fool shall fall. The mouth of a righteous man is a well of life, but violence covers the mouth of the wicked. Hatred stirreth up strife, but love covereth all sins. In the lips of him that hath understanding, wisdom is found, but a rod is for the back of him that is void of understanding. Wise men lay up knowledge, but the mouth of the foolish is near destruction. The rich man's wealth is a strong city. The destruction of the poor is their poverty. The labor of the righteous tendeth to life, the fruit of the wicked to sin. He is in the way of life that keepeth instruction, but he that refuses reproof erreth. He that hideth hatred with lying lips, and he that uttereth a slander is a fool. In the multitude of words there wanteth not sin, but he that refraineth his lips is wise. The tongue of the just is of choice silver. The heart of the wicked is little worth. The lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for want of wisdom. The blessing of the Lord, it makes rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it. It is a sport to a fool to do mischief, but a man of understanding hath wisdom. The fear of the wicked, it shall come upon him, but the desire of the righteous shall be granted. As the whirlwind passes, so is the wicked no more. But the righteous is an everlasting foundation. As vinegar to the teeth, and as smoke to the eyes, so is the sluggard to them that send them. The fear of the Lord prolongeth days, but the years of the wicked shall be shortened. The hope of the righteous shall be gladness, but the expectation of the wicked shall perish. The way of the Lord is strength to the upright, but destruction shall be to the workers of iniquity. The righteous shall never be removed, but the wicked shall not inhabit the earth. The mouth of the just bringeth forth wisdom, but the froward tongue shall be cut out. The lips of the righteous know what is acceptable, but the mouth of the wicked speaketh frowardness. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, as we share in your word today, Lord, as we share in the words of Proverbs, Lord, the words of Solomon, a wise man, Lord, we just know, Lord, that so many things, Lord, that we do today reflect and affect, Lord, where we will be one day. But Lord, as we read through these things, Lord, we hear of the good and the wicked. And that's what Proverbs is comparing, Lord, the good and the bad. And Lord, based on what the word tells us, Lord, is how we're living our life is where our destiny will fall. So Lord, we thank you for your words today. We thank you for your scriptures. We thank you for just the opportunity, Lord, to be able to share them with the congregation today. Lord, we would just above all give you all the praise and honor and glory you deserve, and it be in your name. And when we leave here today, that we wouldn't have known that we've been in the house of the Lord. In your name we pray. Amen. Proverbs is full of verses that contrast godly, righteous people with the wicked. These statements are intended to apply universally to all people in every situation. The Proverbs are intended to communicate the general truth that the life of a person that seeks God is better in the long run than the life of a wicked person, the life that leads to ruin. These are considered general truths. Every day has 24 hours filled with opportunities to grow, to serve, and be productive. Yet it's so easy to waste time letting life slip from our grasp. Refuse to be a lazy person. See time as God's gift and seize your opportunities to live diligently for Him. In verse 18, we are told by hating another person, you may become a liar or a fool. If you conceal your hatred, you end up lying. If you slander the other person or are proven wrong, you are a fool. The only way out is to admit your hateful feelings to God. Ask Him to change your heart, to help you love instead of hate. Words from a good person are valuable. A lot of poor advice is worth less than a little good advice. It is easy to get opinions from people who would tell us only what they think will please us, but such advice is not helpful. Instead, we should look to those who will speak the truth, even when it hurts. God supplies most people with the personal and financial abilities to respond to the needs of others. If we all really counted our blessings each day that God has blessed us with, and we all used our resources to do God's will, hunger and poverty would be wiped out in this world. Not only that, here at Powhatan, if each of us members would do the same here, and in me as being a member of the budget committee, I wouldn't have to be a part of a committee that is going to have to bring forth a budget that is cut to the bare bones minimum at the next business meeting. If we want the Lord to be faithful and continuing to bless us in His church, we must show some financial blessings back to Him to help move it forward. Everything we got is a blessing from God. He blessed us with it. And we now must stand up and bless Him back. Just wanted to read in Daily Bread, kind of fell along this line yesterday. We were having our Saturday morning prayer time. Personal downsizing usually occurs when someone moves to a smaller home. Furniture and other possessions are sacrificed because there's no longer room for them. But when psychologist Jane Addams moved to a larger home, she still went through the difficult process of parting with many treasured items from her worldwide travels. Instead of downsizing, she was ridding herself of unnecessary things that bound her to the past. Downsizing, she said, is about pinching, restricting, and cutting back while keeping yesterday's dreams alive. Divesting is about freedom, expansion, and dreaming new dreams. Instead of searching for meaning in possessions, we are called to find life and freedom in Jesus. To a religious young man whose possessions griped him, Christ said, "One thing you lack, go your way, sell whatever you have, and give to the poor, and you will have treasures in heaven. And come, take up the cross and follow me." But he was sad at this word and went away sorrowful because he had many possessions. It's hard to imagine Jesus needing a storage unit for his extra stuff. If anything I own keeps me from obeying him wholeheartedly, am I ready to open my hand, release it, and freely follow him? No longer do I ask for things, for Christ is my desire. He walks with me and talks with me. He is my satisfier. And a faith that costs nothing and demands nothing is worth nothing. Read that again. A faith that costs nothing and demands nothing is worth nothing. In verse 24, the wicked person dreads death. Those who do not believe in God usually fear death, and with good reason. By contrast, believers desire eternal life and God's salvation. Their hopes will be rewarded. You can have either your fears or your hopes come true. You make that choice by rejecting God and living your own way, or by accepting God and following Him. We talked about satisfaction in Sunday school this morning. So many things people turn to think are satisfying them in this world today, the big mighty dollar. But it's only a short time of satisfaction. You're not going to carry any of that with us. We're not going to carry any of our possessions with us. The satisfaction that we should really, truly be satisfied with is that we know the Lord Jesus Christ and that we know where we're going. I want to go back to Proverbs 3 and cover just a few scriptures in there. This was stated in Proverbs that this was for the younger people, but I think it's like it also said that the older generation or the older people can learn a lot from this information here too. My son, forget not my law, but let mine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all the ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord, and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel, and marrow to thy bones. Honor the Lord with thy substance, and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. 5-8 are the main verses in this thing. So many times we try to lean upon our own understanding and trust our own way we think things should go. And don't even turn to the Lord. And we make a muck of things a lot of times. What does the verse 5 say? It says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not into our own understanding. Consult with the Lord on every decision you make. In all ways acknowledge him. Not just a few, all. And he shall direct thy path. Be not wise in thy own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. The title today was based on a song that was actually produced by Brad Paisley, but it was remade by Jeff Moore, and it's called When I Get to Where I'm Going. We're all going to go somewhere one day, and we're all going to get there, but where is it going to be, and how are we going to get there? Well, I want to get to where this song talks about. That's where I want to be. I want you to listen to the song, and then I've got a story I want to share and a closing comment. But you just listen to the song.
When I get to where I'm going, on the far side of the sky, first thing that I'm gonna do is spread my wings and fly. I'm gonna land beside a lion and run my fingers through his mane. Or I might find out what it's like to ride a drop of rain. Yeah, when I I will love and have no fear. tell him how I've missed him every minute since he left. You and I get away.
The last several months, the Lord has been teaching me many lessons through different trials He has put me through. The same trials I know many of you have been through or may be going through today. The demand of my time at work with my company buying another company. The battle of a loved one battling cancer, and then cancer taking his life. The realization that at 80 years old, my mother and father are really starting to fail in their physical qualities of life. The issues that we face here as a church faced over the past several months, and some that I know that we'll still face coming up. But I still know we were overcome, even as evidence of our last two Wednesday night services, as we've seen some 45 or 50 people come, whether they're down helping our young people or back up here on the altar on an old-fashioned prayer service. Even as we look at this, we're looking to the future for services that will attract our young people. And we as the leaders and adults in this congregation need to encourage our young people and tell them we love them and support them every day. I've learned a lot over the past 2 months about faith, hope, and listening to God in each of these trials. But especially in one of the toughest ones I've had to face, for all of you that have had pets or have had pets, maybe you understand this as a pet owner, For those of you that haven't, maybe you'll understand where I'm going when I close. Some 7 years ago, Jackie brought home a little dog that we all knew to love named Buddy. He was such a ball of fire in his younger years, we'd let him out and he'd run like a racehorse turned out of the gates. He would run as fast as he could till he was out of breath. About 3 years ago, he was running around like that and his foot fell in a hole and he tore some ligaments in his leg and we had to carry him to NC State Veterinary Hospital. He had an operation. He recovered from that and things were back to normal. But about a year ago, his weight went from 50 pounds to 75 pounds in like a month. We knew he was a Free Will Baptist dog and he loved to eat. But this wasn't normal. So I took him to the vet as normal to get checked. And they said he had a thyroid problem and possibly Cushing's disease. If he had Cushing's disease, there would be no cure, but he could go through a series of treatments that if he started, he would have to continue the rest of his life. And it might help him or it might not. Seemed like the thyroid medicine helped for a while. He was starting to breathe harder, though, and you could sense his legs wobbling even as he stood. We took him back, and they confirmed that he had Cushing's disease, which in the end takes away your joints and all, and you just lose balance. You have a pot belly. Breathe hard. After hearing all the odds and the information about the treatment, we elected to have him live out his life without that treatment. That might end it anyway. But last month, the realization of the disease had come to a head. He used to meet us at the door with his tail wagging, but now his legs would not let him get up fast enough. It would take him 5 or 10 minutes to inch his way even into the living room. We would let him outside, and it was such a task to get him in and out of the house. It would take him an hour to accomplish this sometimes. My next-door neighbor made us a ramp for him to get up and down on to make his travel a little easier. A week after the ramp was built, I realized I had to make a decision that I did not want to make, that his quality of life was deteriorating quickly. I told Jackie and Crystal that if he was not better by Saturday at the next week, we were going to have to put him to sleep. And that was the Saturday before Mother's Day. It was a long week for all of us. And Saturday came with no improvement. And we parted ways with our dear friend. And as I thought about my message title today, When We Get Where We Are Going, I thought about Buddy all his life. He trusted us to feed him, water him, look after him. And even on his last trip we took together, he still trusted me to look after him. I did not feel or know if I was doing the right thing, but I relied on the prayers that I had lifted up to the Lord. When we arrived at Banfield, God answered that prayer. As Buddy got out of the car for the last time, so gingerly and marked his territory one more time, he got up and took about 2 steps and collapsed. There was cars in the middle of the street. And he couldn't get up again. So I had to pick him up and toted him in because he was not able. God gave me that sign I needed to have peace with the decision I had made. From the beginning of his life to the end of his life, Buddy trusted his family. And as he took his last breath, with his head and nose on my hand, he was still saying, I trust you today. God taught me a valuable lesson that day. All he asks each one of us to do is to believe in him, trust him, and obey him, and he will carry us and lead us everywhere we go. The day of judgment refers to when we die or to the time when God settles accounts with all people. On judgment day, each of us will stand alone, accountable for all our deeds. At that time, no amount of riches, will buy reconciliation with God. Only our love and obedience to Him will count. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. When we finally get where we are going, and if we stay in God's will, He will take our hands, just like I took Buddy's, and we'll hear those words that we want to hear, however it might be. Well done, my good and faithful servant. I pray this morning that as we close out the service, that if you hadn't made a commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ, and that if there's anything in your life today that would keep you from getting to where you're going, then I would ask you to come upon this altar today and leave that here today. Because we never know when the Lord's going to carry us where we're going, what hour, what minute, what day. So we would just ask you to come after I have our prayer. Let's have a prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for the time today we've had to share. So much information in the book of Proverbs, Lord, that we know that we need to live, that the way we need to live, the things we need to do, Lord, to stay on that path, Lord, that will get us where we're going. Some of us may never make it, Lord. We pray that's not the case. We pray that everybody that's inside this sanctuary today, Lord, will make it to that place. Lord, we just thank You for the ones that are here today, Lord. We know You know the burdens upon each heart today. And Lord, all we would ask is that the burdens that are upon people's hearts today, that they wouldn't take them out the door with them, Lord, but that they would just leave them here on the altar. That's what You would so desire. And that when they walk out the door today, Lord, that they'd be so refreshed and just feel so much better than when they walked in. Lord, we give You all the praise, Lord, because without You, we're nothing. Without Your guidance, we're nothing. We can't do anything in this world without You. So, Lord, as we do the invitation, we would just ask for any burden to be left here on the altar today. And it's in Your name we pray. Amen.